Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word that gives light. That it is your truth that actually sets us free. And you actually want us to hear your voice this morning. To know what you're saying and follow you. And I pray that we would know you better. That you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And that you would fill us as your people with the knowledge of your will. I pray for the grace to speak and the grace to listen. That Holy Spirit, you'd help us to mix what we hear with faith. That we wouldn't just be passive hearers, but we would hear and act according to your word. And so see a demonstration of your spirit and power. Lord, we are in need of a demonstration of your spirit and power in our days. And we thank you for your word that gives us faith so that we can act and see the wonders of God at work. Amen. Thank you. We are here for such a time as this to see a demonstration of your kingdom. And your kingdom is not just a matter of talk, it's of power. But your word, Lord, comes first and then signs follow. And I want to ask for signs following the preaching of your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to speak this morning on prayer. And I believe I'm going to do a couple of weeks on prayer. Next week it might even be prayer and fasting. So book it in your diary. It's a great day to come. Some of you might be put off by that, but don't. Because it's doable and it's powerful. It's doable and it's powerful. But this week, I want to speak about prayer, but particularly how to pray for family. How about that? If you haven't got any family, where are your family? Church of God, Church of Jesus, we're a family. How to pray for your family, but how to pray for those who are closest to us, those who we love, and those who are in trouble, those who need something, a miracle from God. And I'd just like to kind of lay down some foundations about prayer first, and then talk about later on about specifically about praying for family. And we're going to start in the book of James. The entrance of his word brings light. So God's going to turn on the light on how to pray this morning so that you can see. There's a whole lot of prayer that happens, but not all prayer works. Have you noticed? And God wants to teach us to pray effectively so that it works. And we don't just pray, but we pray prayers that get results. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He wasn't meaning it just to be a spiritual kind of cloud. He meant he wanted to manifest his will, just as he did when he walked around Israel for 3 years, ministering, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so Jesus does not want your prayer life to be a theory. He wants your prayer life to be a demonstration of power, so that the will of God can be seen and experienced in the lives of the people we pray for. Isn't that brilliant? And so we need to change some things if things aren't happening. And we also need to grow in our prayer life and not just be so boring going around the same mountain over and over again. How many of you going around in circles? Sometimes you think, I prayed for that for 20 years. And God wants to break the circle, the cycle of repetitive failure, and bring us into a release of kingdom power. So let's look at the word of God together. I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, and that could mean anything, because Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, but he's talking particularly in this situation about wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Or you could say you go round in circles, never seeing results. Or you get seasick. If you've ever been seasick, and like the waves of the sea, you're going from doubt to faith, to doubt to faith. That's called seasickness, spiritually. And you can't receive anything from the Lord when you doubt, trust. Go from one, oh, I feel, to the next, God says. And so we need to know how to pray effectively. And I love this comment in James. It starts with, when you ask, you need to ask a God who is the true God, generous without finding fault. Now, it's almost like God wants to give you a viewpoint of himself that God gives generously without finding fault. Think about that. Generously, abundantly, lavishly, without nitpicking all your issues. Now, if we were to think otherwise, we are not going to be in faith. If we think God has got a problem with us, we're not going to ask in faith, are we? We're going to ask kind of like we don't almost deserve it. Whereas God doesn't ask us to pray according to what we deserve, but according to his character and who he says he is, and what he has already done. And so God's saying, when you pray, you need this mindset that I give generously without finding fault. And that is the character of God. He's merciful. Mercy means he doesn't treat you as your sins deserve. He doesn't treat you in your prayer life as your sins deserve. He doesn't treat your prayer life according to your performance, but according to his mercy. He's generous without being judgmental. So when you pray, God is not judgmental. He's not fault finding. Does it make you happy? Actually, that could do it for the whole morning. God gives generously without finding. That's how to pray thinking, right? You could live with that all week. God gives generously. He's not finding fault. If you think about the prodigal son who walked away from God, he sinned, he spent his inheritance on all his selfish lifestyle of sin, away from God, came to his senses, realized, with my father is a better life. Right? He came to his senses, coming to your senses, that sin is a much worse life than following Jesus. Following God, you're blessed. So he comes back to the father, probably still stinking like the pigs. Not looking great. You could pick a few holes in him, couldn't you? Some Christians would. They'd be like, well, you know what you did to get yourself in that mess. And God, the father, doesn't find fault in this son who walked away and sinned. But the son starts with coming back to the father. Father, I've sinned against you. He confesses. And I want to tell you something. that God's mercy is freely given to all who, when they do fail, they say, Father, I've sinned. I have done and said the wrong thing that didn't please you. And what does the Father do? He doesn't give him a lecture. He doesn't sit him down and say, right, it's about time you learned a lesson. And give him a whole hour of railing and problems with his son's character. Does he? He says, everybody, we're going to have a party. Get ready. And he reinstates that son to full rights and full inheritance. In other words, everything that the father has becomes his. What he has lost, he recovers in that moment. Now that speaks of God giving generously without finding fault. Tell the person next to you, when you mess up, confess it and God will give generously to you without finding fault. Thank you, Jesus. So God isn't going to find fault with you. I've heard so many people say things like, well, that church isn't seeing such and such because God's finding fault with them. Well, if he says that about you, I think he'd be okay with us. Hello? The problem with that church, or even you could say this church, is, well, you're trying to find fault, aren't you? Hello? Anybody? And if you start fault finding in other people, Jesus says, if you judge them, the measure you judge will be the measure you will receive judgment. Don't go there. Don't go there. Hello? Tell the person next to you, don't judge, don't go there. Because you'll come back under judgment. But we're going to live free in God's love for us. Because he is merciful, he forgives us. And because he's gracious, he pours out everything that Jesus died to give us. In other words, answered prayer is based on God's mercy and grace, not on your performance. Isn't that brilliant? So we start off our prayer with that foundation of God's mercy and grace, and with this ringing in our ears. God gives generously to me without finding fault. God gives generously to me without finding fault. It just needs to sink in. Sink right in till it becomes love. I love my Father because that's who he is. I love God because that's who he is. Now, James, we're going to flick over to James chapter 5 and look at another scripture about prayer, how to pray. James 5. I'm going to cut in to verse 16 and read down to 18. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is, for me, one of the key scriptures on prayer, because one translation puts it like this: the effective, fervent prayer, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or person avails much, or makes tremendous power available. Makes tremendous power. It is unstoppable force of God. And the example we're given is through Elijah. Elijah was told, given a word from God. He had a word that God was going to send rain. He had a word to pray the will of God. And God, Elijah prayed, and he prayed earnestly. He didn't pray, send the rain, Lord, whatever. His whole person was engaged in seeing that word come to pass. And he prayed earnestly and effectively. Now that word, heartfelt or fervent, actually means in the power of the Holy Spirit enabling you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. He's always fervent about the will of God. He's always hot. He's always wanting the will of God more than you and I ever could feel it. Yeah? And so this is not speaking about human emotions. Very often this is where we get tripped up. We allow our human emotions to pray, don't we? In situations that we are affected by, we begin to get very emotional in prayer. But this is teaching us that an effective prayer is but through having the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit's zeal almost to accomplish it. The zeal of the Lord, the passion of the Lord to accomplish it through your prayer. You understand? But this chapter, these few verses on prayer begins with a confession of sin to each other. Now, of course, we know that we are to confess our sins to God. We've already talked about prodigal returning to a place of generosity and blessing. But we also know that we are to live at peace with one another and we actually with all people as far as is possible. Scripture actually says, as far as is possible with you, live at peace with all men. Okay, so it starts off with this, confess your sins, or that means your faults or your false steps or your wrongs to one another. Now, I believe the emphasis is about our relationships with each other. That when I have done something wrong, I need to say, I shouldn't have done that. Right? When I've said something wrong, I shouldn't have said that. When I've reacted wrong, I shouldn't have reacted like that. Why? Because Jesus teaches a very important lesson about power in prayer, and that's agreement. That's unity. Where two agree concerning anything, it shall be done. And when there is division between a husband and a wife, when there's division between parents and children, or division between you and the person you're working with, God asks you to go to them and say, look, I messed up. Not to go to them and say, look, you messed up. But to go to them and say, look, I messed up. As far as is possible, put yourself right relationally with everyone. And this confession of sin is actually restoring or healing relationships. Husbands and wives will be restored or healed through forgiveness, through saying, I was wrong when I said that. I was wrong when I didn't do what I said I would do. Hello? And so it's not just about our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with each other that produces an environment for the Holy Spirit to bring effective, powerful prayer release. Now, it's kind of like we don't mind sorting that. But we find it a little bit more difficult to actually say, do you know what, I messed up? Especially if we're a bit proud And we don't like to say sorry, because actually you've got to be proud to not say sorry when you've been wrong. It's just it's just something wrong with you if you can't say, I'm sorry. Okay? There's something wrong with you that needs to change. You need to be able to say, I can humble myself in this. Say, actually, guys, I was wrong. And that's humility. And God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes or resists the proud. The proud are those who are always right in every relationship. Know-it-alls. Superior. But this is the environment that James brings us to. That if we confess our sins to one another, we will be healed relationally. We'll be restored back together for a release of powerful prayer. Okay? Now that is the ground. Those are the ground rules almost. The ground rules for getting an environment right before you pray. And it's having this relational unity that where God will command a blessing. And if the person doesn't want to reconcile, well then you did your bit. Hello? Because it says as far as is possible with you. But if they walk off still mad, you can't do much about that except for pray for them that God would restore you relationally with that person. Okay, then James goes on to this effective fervent prayer, which is an unstoppable force. And I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit works through these right relational attitudes that we have in our heart. Scripture really says, if I have something against my brother, I need to sort it out. And we've got to be people who sort things out quick. It gets easier if you do it quick. How do you know if it goes on for ages? It gets worse and worse and worse. You've just got to sort it. Reconciliation is the heart of God in every relationship. And you need wisdom with children when they get miffed with you. And, you know, are out of sorts. Need to help them to understand, actually, that a house divided won't stand. The devil will come in where there's division. Let's mind the gap and get it healed. Mind the gap and get it healed. Reconcile. Don't go to bed angry. It's good advice, isn't it? Don't go to bed stomping. Reconcile before you sleep. Some of you have turned off, switched off. But this is the unstoppable power of the Holy Spirit in prayer, that if you do it God's way, amen. Disciples need to be taught how to pray effectively. And sometimes it's a missing link, is the relational side. That actually things aren't right there. And if you sort that, you start to get the answers, yeah? Now, I'm just going to kind of share a bit about how I pray for people that have got problems or are sick. And it's really easy to use the example of someone who's sick. But you can use it for anything that you know to be the will of God. Knowing that not only does God give generously to all without finding fault, but also knowing that the divine pattern for every circumstance and every situation on earth is the kingdom of heaven, where there is no lack, no sickness, no strife, no need, no torment, no demonic power. That's heaven on the terra firma. In your walk, in your reality. Are you there, guys? The divine standard for prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the terra firma, in our day, in our living reality. Are we okay with that, guys? I know you've heard it a lot, but only believers get it. Not just hearers only, those who believe. So how do I pray? If I come up, you know, and I believe that, you know, righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord, the people I meet, there's a reason. If they're sick, there's a reason I'm there. It's to heal them. If there's a problem, it's because God wants to release the kingdom in their lives. I'm not living in a bubble. I'm living to advance the kingdom in the world. Okay, I'm not just living with me and God. I'm here to bring the kingdom. Amen. So, before I pray for anyone, usually, because I've already sown the word into my life, usually I already have a scripture in me for their situation. I don't have to carry a Bible or even my phone, put in healing scriptures, Google. Oh good, there's one. Because I already know that by his wounds, we are healed. The word is already in me. I don't have to find it, it's already there. I don't need another word because it is the word of all words. I only need to know that to heal all the sick. How's that then? How many of you know that scripture? How many of you already had that? That's all you need. One word that speaks of it's already done. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finito. It's over. It's finished. It's complete. The healing for every person, the salvation for every person, the deliverance for every person, the supernatural provision for every person has already been done. It is finished. Which is why by his stripes we were healed, or we already are healed, is the right terminology. Not will be. It's not future. It goes right back to the cross. So we see our future in the light of what has been done. And we pray accordingly. Because it's done, it can be released. So before I pray, or before you pray, I know it's to be his will. It's his will for that person. I don't have to ask. Is it your will to heal them? Please stop it. Stop asking, is it your will? Because it already is. Anybody in? It already is, and God gives generously to all without finding fault. He's not picking out their problems, he wants to heal them. How many people do you think that Jesus healed had sin in their life? All of them. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought? Not one of them deserved healing based on their walk. Love that. Jesus went about doing good, healing how many of them? Or healing how many? So is it God's will? Well, you already know it is. You don't even have to ask. You don't have to say if. If it's your will, stop the unbelief from today on. Draw a line on the if, and draw a line of, I wonder, Lord, is it your will? Stop it and accept by his stripes you were healed. So it's in me. I know it. The thing is, I often don't feel a thing, just knowing it. I don't go, ooh, anointing. Oh. Can one of you get on the keyboards? I feel an anointing. Come on. Get on that guitar, drums. Let's get something going here. Whoa, come on, everybody. Let's get stirred up. It's already done. It's like sitting down to a meal that is in front of you saying, oh, I wonder what's for tea. It's already there. So, I'm before I say anything, I simply, in my heart, say, I decide to believe that to myself. I say it within myself. I believe that you've healed them already on the cross. I believe everybody in this room and anybody listening, you've healed them already, Jesus. But we just need to see a release of that. It's already done, but we need to see it released. Is that okay? So I have it in my heart and I say, Lord, I thank you that I can act on this word, simply act on it because I believe it's true. So what you can do. I simply believe, Lord, it's true. Let's have an army of believers healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons because he did it. He has already done it. And we don't even ask any question, does he want to? We know it. And decide, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that, Lord. Right. Then I say, usually I you know, can I pray for you, whatever? Because if you just start to announce and declare things, they might think you're a bit weird. You do need a bit of a relational connection with that person. And say, do you know, I can see you're in pain. I see you've got a problem. Would you like me to pray for you? Because they understand that language. And then if they say yes, I would, before I've spoken, of course I believe, I put my hands on them, and a bit like Jesus did with Lazarus, as he stood before the tomb, he said, thank you. And I sometimes it really helps relationally if I start to thank God. Thank you that you've already done it, Lord. I speak it out over them. Thank you. I give thanks. Jesus gave thanks before he spoke to what needed to happen. What needed to happen? Lazarus was to come out again and walk on the terra firma. The kingdom of heaven was to come on earth. Right? So he thanked and he stood there. And that's what we're to do, give thanks, but then stand there and say, I set you free in the name of Jesus. From this affliction, this pain, this suffering, this torment, I set you free from your addictions. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And once I've said it, it's settled. Once you've said it, it's done. Because you've believed first, which is the important part, and then you've spoken. And you've spoken what you want to happen, which you know to be the will of God. And you know it because God has already healed them, and you're just there to release it. And it's mostly a command. Nearly always it's a command. Understand? It's not a prayer, it's a command. It's not asking God to do it. It's saying, I set you free in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus is more powerful than any condition someone's facing. What Jesus has done, he's already dealt with in that person's life. It's already healed, whatever they've got. Okay. How are we doing? See, this was Jesus' mentality. He lived in this mentality. It was a point of view he had. And as he walked around Israel, his point of view was, I'm here to heal. It's a point of view. It's a mentality he had. Wherever he went, I'm here to heal. I'm here to bring the kingdom. I'm here to provide for the freedom of humanity. Whatever is needed, according to the will of my Father, I'm here to release it. Some of you guys are going to move into the miraculous just by listening to this word this morning. I believe it. I'm believing that this is going to activate something. Simple teaching of God's word activate you to heal the sick and to release people from affliction and bondage and oppression, whatever it is. I set you free in the name of Jesus because I decide to believe what God has said is true. And I simply act. Once I've said it, I stand my ground and say, it's done. Well, why do I still feel pain? Why don't I see a difference is what might come back. Because not always is it instant, is it? Sometimes is, but it's not always instant. At that point, you can waver between the symptoms that they are saying they've still got and what you see, or between what God has said. That Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain, believe in your heart, don't doubt, you will have what you say, you will have what you say, you will have what you say. And even though you can't see it manifest yet, you have what you say. At that point, you need to not agree or speak anything that affirms the sickness. Now, I walk away, and if I'm in relationship with that person, I walk away, see them next time. How you doing? Seen the signs yet? No? And if I don't see any change, I heard this a while ago, and it really helped me, because I've done this on numerous occasions without anybody saying this to back it up. That when I see them and there's no symptoms change, I say, well, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that and I continue to stand and say, this is how it's going to be. I'm not going to refuse a setback. And I'm not going to, I'm going to refuse setbacks and I'm not going to accept failure. I'm digging in. I'm fed up. I'm not here for failure. I'm here for the kingdom. The kingdom coming. That's why we're here, guys. We're the church of Jesus Christ, not in our own heads. We're his. To do the works of Jesus on earth. That's why we're here. Otherwise you'd have gone. Advance. Troops. Come on, troops, let's advance. And it's almost like I'm just going to add to what has begun in your body when I say it again. I'm going to add to it. I love that. Like I've said it, but I'm going to continue to affirm it and continue to speak it until it's manifest. So keep saying it. Keep adding. Use your faith. Decide to choose to believe what God has said and continue to add to it and speak with thanksgiving. We need to get fed up. Fed up with sickness. Come on, guys. Here we are. I get fed up when one of you's ill. Do you not get fed up when somebody in the church is, come on, We're not putting up with that. We're not asking questions. We're here to tell the devil what it's going to be. Hello? We're here for the kingdom to come. Yes, we're going to heaven. But Jesus didn't say, pray, you'll go to heaven. He said, pray, the kingdom to come. Amen. Now, just let's go to prayer for family and then we're going to finish on this revolutionary, faith-inspiring, encouraging word for God's army this morning. Yeah? Maybe even just reminding of the truth. It's good. How do we pray for our families? Answer? The same way we pray for strangers. But let me just show you that I feel things too. Just in case you think, oh, she's a bit... It's because she's single. Doesn't have kids. I've got you. And I'm blessed, beloved. A shepherd under the great shepherd. When you pray for your family, there's an emotional attachment. It's very real, isn't it? Am I preaching rocket science here this morning? Is that true? When you pray for somebody who's close to you, it's in your heart, oh, it bothers you, it gets your mind, and it really affects you when someone you love is going through something difficult. And often the way we pray comes out different than the man or woman of power for the hour on the streets. Well, it's God's will, in the name of Jesus. Suddenly it's... Why? Why me? Why us? This is really hard, Lord. Why don't you help us, please? This is the normal prayer. Please, Lord, do something. I've prayed it. Has anybody ever prayed? Please, Lord, do something. He said, is that how I taught you to pray? Have you just been taught how to pray? Is that how he taught us to pray? And, you know, it's this emotional baggage that can change everything about your prayer life into a monotone bore without faith. Lord, help! Lord, every day, help! Lord, help! I had a fresh light. You can say what you like, but for me it's true. I had fresh light on Lazarus this week when we were going through John's Gospel together. And in John 11, the sisters sent Jesus this prayer request. Lord, the one you love is sick. Did he love Lazarus? Yes. Did he love the guy next door less to Lazarus? And you can hear a little bit of the reason you should heal him is because you love him. And the reason you should heal my family is because I love them. Well, if love healed everyone, no child would be sick. Love alone. Because love alone doesn't heal. Doesn't get answers in prayer. Just to be moved with compassion isn't enough. The only thing that counts, Scripture says, is faith working through love. And how many of you know, often when your emotions begin to escalate, and I've done it, And I can still do it. Is that all right to say? I have to get to a place where my emotions come back down. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. It depends on the issue. I have to wait for, cast all my cares onto Jesus because he cares for me. All the worries of this world and the loved ones I hold dear. We sang it. I put them into his hands. Yes, he loves them. But Jesus said all the way through John 11, believe. It's all about believing, John 11. He said, I'm going to do this because I want you to believe. Only believe. What did he say to Jairus when he heard his daughter had died? What did he say? Only love. He didn't say only love. He said only believe. And the hardest thing in an emotional time is how you feel, dealing with what you're feeling. Because if you can deal with what you're feeling and get back to believing, you can pray in exactly the same way for your child as the child next door. And only God can help you like that. You know, God will help you with your emotions so that you come back to faith if you give yourself to kind of getting through it and realizing that often just emotional prayers equal failure. We'll go around in circles of defeat in prayer just because emotions are not the answer for prayer. Effective, fervent, faith-filled prayers makes tremendous power available. Amen. I hope this is helping a bit today. And I've used the example before, but some examples just need to keep coming back to encourage your faith. I had a family situation quite a few years ago, a teenager in my brother's family. He had anorexia, which for a 14-year-old boy, he was really ill. He was taken into hospital, anxiety, all kinds of stress disorders. And he was literally wasting away. And of course, my brother was on the phone. When I talked to him, you could hear the panic, the fear. You can hear all the emotional upset that was going on in the whole family. Whenever any one of my family members rang, it was always to talk about this boy and how awful it was. And it was. I'm not saying there's no compassion. Please, without compassion, your faith won't work. We need compassion. But I realized that they were praying a bit like I've just done the example of. God, do something. I wish you would do something. And they'd walk around saying, well, we are praying. But maybe they didn't know how to pray like this. And maybe they didn't have that kind of little bit of a removed person who believes. And I realized the value of church in times of trouble, which is why it's important we're planted in the house of the Lord. Because when you go through a bad time, someone else will believe. And I'm an aunt, so I'm a bit removed. I mean, I went to see him in hospital, and the more you kind of are with a patient, the more the symptoms speak, don't they? And I remember praying, knowing to be the will of God, that this boy was healed. But, you know, you get into your head what the doctors say. It takes ages. Teenage boys are the worst, worse than girls. I was hearing all these reports from my brother, and that he could die. He could die from this. This is where it was going. That boy could have died. And they said, you know, it takes so long if they ever come out of it. It takes so long. Nobody can break through that psyche. And I knew it was demonic. I knew that illness is totally sewn into that boy's mind from the devil. It's from the pit of hell. And I was fed up with this. You know, he was going downhill. And it was actually before a Sunday morning meeting, and I was praying for the meeting early morning. And I was reading my scripture, walking around praying Isaiah 60. And I started to pray this scripture, neither wasting nor destruction will be within your borders. What a promise. And as I spoke it, I went, that's it. I thought I was praying for Russ, and he's not here. He's miles away. And I went, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this wasting and destruction to stop now. I'm putting my foot down. It's now. It's over. And I spoke with faith. It was like fed up, enough, ruling. Come on, it's time to get fed up, enough, ruling. I mean, I was on my own. You should have been there. It was a better meeting. I'm going, that's it. Talk about the fervency of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I then carried on praying for us. Came, ministered, went home, got a phone call from my brother. We don't know what happened. At lunchtime today, on the very day, he suddenly decided to eat. And his life was saved. His life, how many lives are we here to save? Come on. There are lives that will be saved. When you make tremendous power available through your prayers, get rid of your emotional baggage. You can't pray through your feelings. It can't be a feeling prayer. Stop with the huggy-huggy. Don't you know all this? Oh, I'm so... Nice, but no power. It's nice, and there is a moment to hug. A holy one. Holy hugs. But that's not going to release tremendous power. It's not. It's only going to be a feeling. And that person needs your "I decide to believe." By his wounds, they are healed. And in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking to this and telling it to be according to the will of God. And that will make tremendous power available. And don't forget, no change, keep adding to it. Don't feel condemned. Don't back off. Don't shrink back. Continue to believe to the saving of the soul, saving of that situation. Just continue to advance and add your words of faith again and again until it manifests. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, shall we?
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.